From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, we worship and we adore you. Tonight, we say, hallowed be thy name. Tonight, we say you are God and you are Lord. Thank you for bringing us together here on a Wednesday evening like this. Thank you for new things, new moves, new strategies, by which we know we are gaining grounds and moving from victory unto victory. I pray, Lord, that tonight you'll be gracious unto us. Be gracious unto us and bless us. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. Wow. Are you excited to be here tonight? Yeah. We're in a new season. And you should enjoy new things. I feel very nice. Yeah. You see, one of the arts of leadership, if you read Bishop's book on the art of leadership, one of the chapters talks about embracing new ideas. Embrace new ideas. The problem with leaders, and pastors are leaders. A pastor is not just somebody who, you know, goes to church and then just preach. A pastor is a leader. A pastor is like a president. Do you understand, Marisa? So, one of the things that Bishop teaches in the book is you must readily embrace new ideas. That is the reason why, right, by, is it Cool Circle you call it? Right here. Cool Square. Devon, is it Cool Square right there? The bridge that they are fixing. Have you seen they're fixing the bridge? That's why they are putting back wood. Have you seen it? And then today, somebody, a pastor posted it on Facebook that he got a very brilliant idea that it should be made into concrete. Then Sherrod, is it Sherrod Duncan, the deputy mayor, said that he's taking note and he's going to table it at the Region 4 or whatever, Georgetown City Council. I had to open my mouth and say, it's just now you know that you got to. Well, what are you tabling? They are putting the wood on it anyway. What? So now that you are putting a new wood on it, you are going to make City Council come and remove the new wood and put in concrete? You're making jokes. It's joking you, Joe, you're making. Somebody had to put it on Facebook for the deputy mayor to acknowledge it. So you see that we are walking around. When we are walking around in this life, in this world, we don't embrace new things. The only new things we embrace is new clothes and new dresses and new hairstyles. That's all. Apart from that, there's nothing around us that you even your living room, new things. Okay, this Christmas, I'm not going to buy blinds. I'm not going to do it. You can't embrace those new ideas. It's like you have to do that same thing you do every year all the time. Now, let me tell you, God is into new things. Oh, if you, the other day, God was telling me that we have to continue to teach new songs. There's something about new things. They bring freshness. They bring new life. They bring more excitement in the church. If you sing one song over and over again, are you there? Uh-huh. So, it's a new move, a new wave. And you must embrace it all. People fight new things. Don't be a fighter of new things. I'm so blessed that I can preach on yesterday and I can preach today comfortably. It's very fantastic. Easy cry. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like that before. But we have changed things. We have embraced a new idea and we are flowing to it. And you see, it's not very easy to start new things. You get it? So as we've started a new thing like this, it'll take a little while before it picks up and it catches up. The fact that it will take a little while doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. We just all have to make sure that we are on. We are in the new move. Hallelujah. And anytime God is doing something new, if you don't embrace the new thing, you are left behind. That is what happens. Are you with me? So I'm teaching and I'm ministering on the fifth column. The fifth column. And we're saying that the fifth column is from the history of the Spanish Civil War in the early 18th century, somewhere 1936, thereabout, where a Spanish commander said that he was going to take down, I think he was marching against Barcelona or so in Spain. And then he had four columns of soldiers, four columns, like four groups of soldiers strategically positioned to take down the city. And, he was talking to somebody and then the person was asking, so how are you really, really going to take down this city? And he said, oh, even though I have four columns, I have a fifth column that I'm going to majorly use to bring down this city. And then he asked, well, what is the fifth column? What do you mean by fifth column? I see you have four groups here. Where is the fifth group? And then he said, oh, my fifth group is in the city. My fifth group is in the city. The sympathizers and the people who love me and who support the move and who support what I want to do, they are in the city. And they are the ones who are going to help me win this battle. You see the same thing in the life of Shakespeare, Julius Caesar. That Caesar was assassinated. And the plot could not work until they had one guy called Brutus. Brutus was Julius Caesar's confidant, somebody very close to Caesar. And he was one of the people who conspired with Cassius and the rest of the crew to stab and to assassinate and to murder Julius Caesar. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 30 that the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. So we are saying that this is a battle. This is a fight. Church work is a battle. I am still looking for a pastor to compare my notes with. I tell you. I had a case some time ago where a church member, one of my sheep, went to Perica, went to Linden, and some other places. And the person didn't know that they went to those places. Yeah. So, I was praying for that individual a few years ago. A while ago, I should say. Then I asked a demon about what the demon was doing. And the demon said, oh, we went to Parika. We went to Linden. I remember talking to the church member. The church member said all that they could remember was that they were in the bus traveling. That's all that they could remember. And the person said that as they were in the bus traveling, they thought they were just going home. And you see, spiritual things doesn't have time. The Bible says that a day is like 1,000 years, isn't it? So this person was traveling for a whole 12 to 16 hours. Moving from one spot to the other, jumping from bus to bus. I don't know how the person managed to pay or don't pay. It's very mysterious. But that is what the devils did. Now, the interesting thing about it is that when I was casting out the devils, one of the devil was the spirit of forgetfulness. And so that spirit said that whenever we do something with this person, then we erase it. So the person doesn't know or remember anything. If you ask the person, oh, what is this thing you were holding? He said, what thing am I holding? He said, I thought you were holding this bag. He said, bag? No, I don't remember holding any bag. I said, I am looking for a pastor to compare my nose with, who gets such marvelous battlefield experiences with church members. So, the church is not some nice place you come and you serve God and then you, no. It's a battlefield. If you don't know, I'm telling you, the church is a battlefield. Have you not realized that the devil somehow has found a medication or an antidote to the power of the church? Remember, Jesus said that he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But what do you see in our country, oh beautiful Guyana? The church doesn't have a voice. That is why some of us feel strange sometimes. As if we rather are the strange ones. What is happening is that the normal thing for a church is not what is happening. We are not experiencing church, really. It's true. And if you don't take care, Shepherd House International, if you don't take care, we will turn the church into another cold, dying church. One of the things that Jesus told one of the churches in the book of Revelation, he said that you have a name alive, but you are dead. You have a name alive, but you are dead. It's like you have a name, yes, that you are a church, but there's actually nothing happening. It's dead. And you don't have to go outside Georgetown to experience it, because even though it's worse outside Georgetown, even right here in Georgetown, you see all kinds of things. You look around and see what church really, which church really is doing exploits. Which church really? Do you turn on your radio and hear the man of God preaching? Do you turn your TV and see a very mega church? Thousands of people preaching. Do you see that around here? You think it's normal? Because once a person becomes a pastor and he wants to do something for the society. He wants to do something for the city, the community. They build places for people to come and learn sewing and catering and things. They join community groups to help improve the community. That's what people do around here. And I can tell you, it's not wrong, but I will tell you it's wrong. It is wrong because it has come to replace pastors and men of God, our time and our attention and devotion. And therefore, what is supposed to, the time that we are supposed to give to the church, we have divided the time and we are spending less time in the church and doing more for the community. What do I get? What does God get when we do youth programs? When we do Hope is Rising, what does God really get from it? What about the church? What about the church? I said, what about the church? We're looking for a place in Mahaika because our church is not stable. So we got a place. And then the pastor was telling me that some place we got. And that place, it's for some other church. The place is locked up for many, many years. So somebody, a good Samaritan, took them and drove them straight to this building and said, this is a place you can use for church. And they said, but what is there? So I think the gate was probably not locked or something. They went inside, they looked inside, a place nice with benches, pulpit, everything, stage.
So, you know, they were asking, so who's the owner? The man said, break the door and go inside and use it. He said, how can I? He said, no, the thing has been here. Nobody comes here. Nobody uses it. Bush and all kinds of things. So we later discovered who, I mean, the church, the denomination. And then today the pastor went to meet the head of the church. The man says, we're asking for it. We say we want to use it. The man said, oh, there are some young people in Bible school. They are interested in doing church there. So when they graduate from Bible school, they will come and use the place. There's a church I went to in Bellevue. You know Bellevue? On the West Bank. In Bellevue. Nice church. Big yard. Saturday, we were doing house to house multiplication campaign. And when I was passing the house, I saw this nice lady sweeping the church. I like it when I see people sweep the church. I think it's a very nice thing to sweep the church. It's more nicer than to come and sit down with your face powder and all of that. So, so I walked in and I said, good afternoon. I really admire what you're doing. So I started to engage her. So I asked, who's the pastor? Because I want to introduce myself to, you know, the pastors on the side where I, you know, where we have our new church. So I said, who's the pastor? He was the, well, the pastor lives somewhere in town, somewhere. So I said, so what time do you start service? So 7 o'clock. I said, 7? You have on your signboard outside in the yard that Sunday school is 9 and service is 10. He said, oh, no, that doesn't work anymore. I said, what happens? Oh, the pastor is from town. She has to come here early, 7 o'clock, so she can go to another place because she's the one pastor preaching in about 3 or 4 places on a Sunday morning. So I said, but can you not preach? He said, no, I can't preach. I said, I would rather teach you to preach. So I said, so how many people gather on a Sunday morning? So, just me and my family, about 5 people. Yeah. And there's a building behind the church. I said, there's a nice building behind your church. What do you use it for? She said, oh, we used to have computer classes for the people in the community, but some people came and stole the computer, so we are not using it anymore. You should see the vines coming out of the church on the windows going over the building. The same building that day, big computer classes. And when you look at the yard, bigger than this, our yard, tall grasses. So I said, you have a big space. He said, yeah. They are waiting for the few members to take part. So, you know, you weed your part. Everybody weeds their part. That is the state of the church. Don't sit down here in Georgetown or on Durban Street or somewhere in your church and think that the kingdom of God is nice here in Guyana. The kingdom of God is not nice in Guyana. So last Sunday when I was going to church, I looked, as I saw that indeed maybe somebody had come to weed their part. So just immediately around the building was weeded. I said, oh, maybe some faithful member has come to weed her portion of the place. It's funny. It's and Satan is feeling good. Yeah, because the churches don't pray. It's once a week church we are having. You don't come for all night. You see, it is the system and the environment in Guyana is so cold that you have to be very active to keep your spiritual temperature on. I tell you. That's why I preach Sunday morning. I preach Sunday evening. I preach Tuesday. I preach Wednesday. And Friday we have all night. Yeah, Saturday we do outreach. Wait, from Monday to Sunday to Sunday. Because what else are you going to do? In such an environment, you can't sleep, you can't sit down. So those of you who don't understand how to serve God, when your activity, only your spiritual, let me tell you something. A body that is not well is the body that is less active. The Bible says we are the body of Christ. So if you and I are the body of Christ, the Bible says that we are all members of the body. The church is the body of Christ. We are members of the body. So somebody is the hand, somebody is the nose, somebody is the leg, somebody is this, somebody is that. So if the body of Christ is not active, it means that the body of Christ is not well. And an average person, average human being, you and I, we are very active. You wake up in the morning, there are things you do. Some of us go to work in the morning, you work all day, you come back in the evening. Tuesday, Monday to Friday, you are working. That is the sign of life. So when the church exists, and the only time the church operates is Sunday morning, 2-3 hours, tell me whether the body is well or it's not well. Oh, am I preaching to somebody tonight? I said, answer whether the body is well or not. And so, you see, what happens, what we are talking about now, is very, very critical, because what happens is that in John chapter 14 and verse 30, the Bible, Jesus said that when the devil wants to cool down the church, when the devil wants to cool down the church, David said also in the book of Psalms that my own familiar friend whom, I eat from the same plate with, has lifted his heels against me. But Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 30, he says that the prince of this world, who is the devil, he comes and he has nothing in me. What Jesus is bringing into question is that when the devil wants to work in any place, he looks for a contact. If he does not get a contact among us, he cannot operate. So Jesus said, even though the devil is coming, right in me, I am clean. There's nothing about me that the devil can use or can hold on to do anything. So what we are trying to teach you is that if this church will experience difficulties, it will come from those of us who come here. That is why I am teaching about the concept of the fifth column. Because the fifth column is always the person inside who seem to be open to the devil, who seem to be lazy, who seem not to understand what we are doing, who seem to disagree with what we are doing, who seem to not understand what we are doing, and all of that. And therefore, the devil finds consolation with such a person and uses such a person in the church. So if we are going to look for the person who is fighting against the church, even though it's the devil, he's using one of you or one of us. That's what I'm trying to teach. So you have to now be careful how you walk in the church. Because what happens in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says something. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says, it's 2 seconds to give me scriptures, right? I'm sure you know that. Service level agreement. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. 2 seconds. I have to get it. 1, 2, bam, it's there. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. The devil is powerless until somebody invites him in. How do we invite him? We invite him when we disagree with what is going on. We don't like what is going on. We have a different opinion than what is going on. When we begin to operate like that, then we give the devil an opposition, an opposing force. We give him the place. And he takes charge or control of the person who disagrees, who does not understand, who doesn't like, who thinks that it is too much meetings we are having, who thinks that this is too much. The devil takes that. That is the place he gets. So you should always be careful when we say we are doing this. Those who do it and those who didn't do it. Because we are not surprised that there are fifth columns in the church. We will not sit down here and say that everybody is with us. We can't say that. Because the actions are not reflective of everybody is with us. And everybody can be with us. That's what we are also preaching and teaching. Because even Jesus, who said that a servant is not greater than his master, he chose 12 guys. One of them was the devil. So one of you, he's even a book, one of the new books that Bishop has written, is one of you is a devil. That's the title of the book, the Macarius 60. Do you know there's a new Macarius that's out? 60 books. you got to send money to Ghana to buy it for yourself. Yeah, one of the books inside is that one of you is a devil. Because it always takes somebody inside to influence inside. You see, if any insect is going to bite you for you to feel it, is it going to bite you through Wi-Fi or Bluetooth? He has to find somewhere, your skin somewhere. And sometimes they bite you where you don't expect. You are there, you say, sir, please, look here for me. Scratch this. Sir, oh, no, go here. Because once he finds a place hiding to bite you, it can bite you good. Yeah, you don't get those insects that come and they just sit on the back of your palm and say, look at me, I'm biting you. No. Yeah, sometimes you don't even realize that. They are looking for a very vantage place to hit. You have to take off your pants. Yeah. I'll take off your brassiere. Because the thing has gone to a place you don't expect. That is where when they bite you, they'll bite you good. I said, that's where when they bite you, they'll bite you good. Yeah. Good bite. Hallelujah. Yeah. So the concept of the fifth column is very common. It's in churches. It's in almost every church has fifth columns. I tell you. Almost every church has fifth columns. But we are preaching and teaching so that at least we can kill it. If we can't even kill it, at least we will reduce it. Hallelujah. Traits of fifth columns, isn't it? That's what we started last week. What's number one? Sorry? They have what? Hey, only three people? I beg you. You see, this is how we started a church. You come with a book and a pen. Delon, I see that you don't have anything you are writing. You have a Bible? Hey, that's not how we do church. Young boys, where are your Bibles and your pens and your books? That's how we start the church. If we can, and this is the beginning of the church. So we have to ensure that all these people, Reverend Chief and Chief, all these people who are around us who seem to be, otherwise they are very light. Any wee breeze that blows, they are gone. You'd be surprised. Especially when they are little boys like that who don't have Bibles. Where are they going? What is their future? Delon, stand up. You are wearing, where's Goldfinger? Is that how you teach them? You see, you people don't talk to us for us to give you ideas. You can't be an usher without a Bible and an exercise book and a pen. You need it. How else are you going to remember what we are talking about? Choruses. Your bags. Everybody. Next time I come here. Hey. Chief and Chief. Next time I come here to preach again, I'll do inspection. That's not how we train people. No, that's not how we grew up. We didn't grow up like that. And Asher Delon, what does he know that he doesn't write when a bishop is preaching? He's a computer. Delon is not writing, doesn't have a Bible, he's wearing black and white with an ashes tie. Where? Hey. So you should look at all of those things and correct them. He needs to write. I hear you say you want to go to Bible school. Is it true? Is it true? You want to go to Bible school? You are not serious. Sit down. Yeah, chief, you got to do this thing. You got to do anytime you are starting service. You have, that's not how we, Reverend Izan, you have been with me since 2005. Is that not what we have been doing? When we start preaching, we come and say, where's your Bible? Where's your... The preacher coming and preaching and go, that's nothing. Oh, you people must learn. Yes. Is it the Quran? Where's your Bible? Where's your notebook? You just go to back school, huh? Where's the next one? Stand up. Where's your Bible? How old are you? 17. You're not learning anything. This is the last time you should come to church without a Bible and a notebook. You know what I'm telling you? Good. I like the way you call me, sir. It's nice. Okay. At ease. Okay. All right. You may be seated. He calls me, sir. I like it. I feel like an army commander. He's the only one who calls me, sir, in the church. He said, yes. When he says, his hands are behind him. He said, sir. That's how I had to tell him, at ease. I feel like an army commander. No, what I'm telling you is what you should have. You can't come to church without a Bible, without an exercise book. You should do that. All these children who are growing up, Marianne and is it Shania? All of you, all these people, Ariana, you should have the books, pens. You have exercise books. Ah, Quincy, Tom, where's your Bible? Where's your exercise book? Look. What? My. You see, and this is what, you can be a pastor and be in a church and you not even pay attention to all of these things. And the church won't work. And you wonder why the church is not working. Because you are not training the people. It's not just coming to preach. It's minding people business. Hey, being a pastor is minding people business. I saw you in town with a boy. Who was that boy? And that was me, cousin. You sure it's your cousin? Because the way he was holding you. So why the man minding me business? I gotta mind your business. Yeah. Rolex. Where's your boy? Look at how he's sitting like he has a wife and children and he's driving a Mercedes Benz. Look at Rolex. Who tells me he doesn't want to be a pastor? He wants to go into the army. He's sitting down, resting in the chair like that. Little boy of how many years? 12 years? 14 years? 14? He's shaking his head. Doesn't have manners. Like, go and learn something from Dequan, who's saying, yes, sir. Dequan, give him some training after church. Good. I like that. Sitting down in the chair like that. No Bible, no book, no pen. No nothing. How are you going to learn? It's the same attitude they take to school. If I was a head teacher, nobody would come to my school. I know that. It would even be easier because when I go, there's nobody in the school. I just go and I sleep. 4 o'clock, I check out. Yeah. The only school that will beat. Oh, cry. The only school we will beat. Yes. Yes, and let your ignorant father come to the school. You will see. He should come and teach. If he's qualified to, he should come and teach. Yeah, he should come and teach. And we will go home. He should come and teach in the school. If he thinks he has something to say. We'll beat your child, whether you like it or not. Beat them. If they don't want to be beaten, they should come to school on time. They should follow the rules. Simple. If you follow the rules, nobody will touch your, nothing will touch your skin. Nothing. Otherwise, you come late, you stay in the sun for half day. If you miss school, you are suspended for 1 week. Yeah. Somebody was trying to start a debate in Ghana recently, some madman. You know, in secondary school in Ghana, the girls, they go bald, they go short, boycott. this man says he's Rastafarian. His daughter has Rasta. And that is their religion. And the daughter can't cut off the hair. The head teacher says, then they should stay home. You are Rasta, you are Muslim. Go to Muslim school. Go to Rastafarian school. Don't come to your public school. It's public school, everybody is one. No special treatment, go to home school. You can have a long natty. And be all right. Natty dread. Are you understand what I'm saying? Home cell leaders, that's why your people are not growing. Because you are not enforcing the things that makes a child grow. You just go and you stand there and you say, like, it's like you preach. You don't inspect people's Bible. You don't inspect people's notebooks. You don't ask them, what did you learn? When you don't call them to find out whether they've read their Bible, what kind of Bible they have. You don't care about the people at the end of the day. That's why they are not growing. So they are easy targets of the devil. The devil will bring them here and they'll come and cause trouble right in the church. I'm preaching good. Oh, Jalana, what I'm saying? You just go and stand there. All you're concerned about is the preaching. You're not concerned about whether somebody has a Bible, whether they read their Bible, whether they listen to messages, whether they are doing well. You're not concerned about all of that. Hey, we've done things here. That's why I have the people who are here. Anyway, the first trait of a faith column is what? That person has questionable loyalty. A person's loyalty is questionable. John chapter 12 and verse 1. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Questionable loyalties. Lord help our churches. I think it's the whole passage where Jesus went to Bethany and the lady came and poured the oil on his feet. And then one of his disciples that he took with him it's very interesting. One of his disciples that he chose and made him popular, make him known, called Judas Iscariot. He took the man into a house on visitation. And then the lady comes to worship Jesus. And then the person who is tagging along is questioning why the woman is doing what she's doing. Is that not the sign of a fifth column? In a similar way, somebody just lets their offering out to you. So I feel like giving it 1,000 today. And then what is your statement? You don't say, wow, go ahead. I think you should even give more. Oh, he says $1,000? Girl, you rich? That is a fifth column. Because you are here in the church. What we see physically is that this is your church. But you are preventing people from doing what is right in the church. You going, me going, you going, I'm going, you going, me going, me going, you going, me going, you going, me going, you going. I ain't sure whether I'm going, I'm going. You're a fifth column. Your loyalty is questionable. Which side are you on? Are you on this side or are you on the other side? It's questionable. And fifth columns are like that. Number two, fifth columns operate between two companies. Fifth columns operate between two companies. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 47. Matthew 26, 47. Fifth columns operate between two companies. At least if you don't bring your own Bible, there's a Bible on the screen and all of that, maybe. But you have to write. So when you go home, you go through it. Because I think it's, the place is disco. I don't know whether you can see your, if you don't have a flat screen. I'm not sure whether you see. What's the second point?
They operate between two companies. What I mean is that they operate between two groups of people. So you have people in the church, but you also have good people outside the church. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
In this Christian race that we are in, you are only on one side. You can't be on this side and on that side. It's not like that. There's only one way. But you see, sad to say, many Christians in the church today have double companies they live within. So they have, in fact, some Christians don't even have a good relationship in the church. They rather have thick, tight, close partnership outside the church. Now, nobody is giving you a rule that you shouldn't have a friend outside. But that now actually brings into question what you mean by I am a Christian. Now, if you see the opposition leader, president, the opposition leader, former president Barak Jagdeo, if you see him with the vice president or the prime minister, Honorable Moses Nagamutu, somewhere liming and laughing and eating and drinking, what will occur to you? What will occur to you? You say. Yeah, you said Mutu is drinking, so or Jagdeo is drinking something. What really going on here? That is how we behave in the church these days. Sunday morning, we are among the brethren. Right after church, we are going to the creek with another group of people. We're going to stand in black water and wine. Meanwhile, you just left church the Sunday morning. What are you about? I'm saying that these are the candidates the devil uses among us. So really, if you are like that in the church, you are a dangerous person. Dangerous that you don't even know that you are dangerous. I don't know if somebody is listening to me tonight. People think it's control, but of course it's control if you wanna call it. Let me tell you, if you are somebody who rears sheep, you own sheep, in the night you're going to sleep, don't you think you go around and make sure that the sheep pen and everything is in order? Now, if you go and you realize that you had 20 sheep, and then as you look around, you realize that they are now 15, will you just go and sleep and say, oh, the 5, they will come in the morning? You are going to the neighbor's house, you are asking, has my 5 red sheep or blue sheep come into your house by chance? Yeah, you see my sheep? The whole area will know that you're missing 5 sheep. You call that control? Do you call that control? Oh, no, it's caring. You're looking out. You have a responsibility. It's your job. You own the sheep. So, that is why we have to make sure that you are here. You come to church, or if you don't come to church, where are you? Where did you go? That's why we have to talk about creek and talk about all the things you are into. Because as a sheep who belongs to a pastor, you cannot be anywhere else than the pastor of the fold where you belong to. It is the only way you can stand positively and assuredly and say, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. So 5 columns. And let's check ourselves. Because you'll be surprised what the devil wants to use you for. I say you'll be surprised what the devil wants to use you for. When I look at these young girls who started liking these Bible school guys, you wonder. These are girls who have been in the church all these years. Moving around quietly, nicely, and all of a sudden. I mean, you may not understand it, and I may not have 100% understanding of it, that I will cast out a devil from, let's say, Anita, and I hear that the devil came here, God forbid, through Michelle. All these years she's been here. Now that I'm casting her, this lady is in trouble, and I'm praying for her, and I find out what is wrong, only to hear that when Michelle used to sit next to her, and she'll give her pen to write and give her something, mint to chew and gum to chew. No. As she gives her the gum, she's passing something through to her. Hey. Now, when I look at, when I see Michelle again sitting in front of the church, what do you think I my mind will tell me? I wonder what kind of person is that? But you see, Michelle may probably not know that she is being used because she doesn't understand the duality, the two company thing that she's into. Because the moment you go out there, you get contaminated. The only reason and the only way the devil can come into the church is through one of us. So he tries to bring you close to where he dwells, where he lives, so he can have partnership with you. So that when you are going to the church, because he can't come to the church, the devil can't come to the church. Devils don't come to church. The only way he can come to church is if he's on you. Can you carry me? Thank you. If you are carrying the devil. Yeah. The only way the devil can come to church is if you bring the devil to church. Rahim. Son of Rahim. Rahim. You know you're a nice guy. You know this boy, Rahim? He's my boy for many, many years. Rahim has been in this church for many years. The only thing, of course, he struggled to come to church and all of that. But the main thing that took him out of a church was a girl. And I don't know, are you still together? And now that you are not together, you look where he is again. He's in a church. Bye-bye, James. Goodbye, James. Yeah, he said, next time when you're looking for me, you find me in the church. Let's just kiss and say goodbye. No kiss. Let's just what? Let's just wave and say goodbye. Ten, 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 ten. I have to meet you here today. Yeah! Nice boy, Rahim. Then some girl. Tall girl. Should I mention her name? Oh, you know her. Came to the church. They're not long. Rahim checked out. Then sometimes when I'm coming to church on the cemetery road, I see Rahim and this girl. Now drive past them and say, hey. No, you don't have an idea. Most of the young girls are demon-possessed girls. Most of the young boys are demon-possessed boys. You don't have an idea. I can tell you that. He's not with a girl. That's why he's in the church. The girl's mother sent me a message on Facebook. The mother is very, very disrespectful. I don't know why people send me a message when things go wrong in their house. And when nothing is going wrong, they don't know me. The mother sent me a message that I should talk to my church member. So I asked myself. I didn't reply. Because I don't reply to foolish messages. I said to myself, you should rather talk to your daughter. If you're a good woman, your daughter won't come and take a church member. Meanwhile, Rahim wasn't coming to church. I said, Rahim's not my church member anyway. You enjoying, huh? You enjoy, she. Joke, 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 joke. Ah! Bye-bye, James. Goodbye, James. Yeah. Nice boy, Rahim. Nice boy. He was here with us all the time, day, morning, day, afternoon. Then a girl comes into the picture. And he too, he's a bush boy. You see a girl tall like that? One babes. He's gone. He's taken away. Yeah. It's not all that glitters that is gold, you know. Thank you, Raheem. Thank you for allowing me to use you for my nice preaching.
Yeah. Nice boy. Then lately I have seen that he comes and he sits in the same corner. Sits, so I said, something going on. Juliet gone. Eh? Yeah. Sheila.
Because all you do is that they'll keep you away from God. All you, they come to you is the room that you and your four brothers are staying. It's the same room this girl will also stay. It's amazing how some girls will sleep in the same room with other people. Oh please, I know it. I know it. I know it. Don't, I know these things here. I know it. I'm not talking about something that I know what I'm talking about. They'll sleep right with you in the room that your brothers and your siblings are sleeping inside. They're on the same bed. They have no shame and no respect for themselves. At least, take me to a one-bedroom apartment. Then I'll open like a clothespin for you. I'll open like that. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. When I wake up in the morning, I have my own kitchen, toilet, bathroom. I say, hi, baby, good morning. I like this apartment. Yeah, we got our own toilet. Nobody disturbing we. Another this place where on the bed, there's another bed on the side and two of your siblings are sleeping and me and you sleep on this one. And you mother sleeping in the next room with another banner. And then you calling me mother-in-law. It's not strange at all. You see, so somebody had to come close to this young man and serve as a bridge between the devil and him. So when they come close, when somebody is trying to come close, you have to be careful. You have to be careful when people come close to you. One of your guys was telling me tonight, they met a young lady, only to discover that the young lady is related to a famous rebel in the church, one of our rebels. And a young lady, as they were talking, he's inviting. You see, you can't invite young girls to church. Oh. Some of the people, let them go to hell. No, you listen to this. You're inviting a girl to church. The girl is calling you honey for the first time you are talking. And the girl is offering you $120,000 as a contribution to your ticket. I told the person, if that is the money that will buy your ticket, then please, let's stay in Guyana. Don't go nowhere. It's smelling. It smells. The thing smells. It smells. It smells. Only to realize that this person is related to a very famous rebel in our church. So then the person is asking me, so should I still continue to invite the person to church? I said, not our church. Let her go to hell. Send her to hell. It's okay. Why does somebody want to offer you $120,000? Do you know what is behind it? So be careful when people come close to you. You have to wonder, is this person going to be a bridge between the devil and me? Or between God and me? You have to ask yourself that question. Don't just be in the church and just flow with anybody. There are some of you, you come to church, you come good, and you become bad right here in the church. Yeah, it is in the church rather that you became bad. Sister Charlene said it. Sister Charlene said that she did her investigation before joining our church.
nobody told her anything bad about our church. It is when she entered the church that she started hearing bad things about the church. That's what Sister Charlene told me. She did her investigation. She went to talk to some pastors. She went online. Everything, spoke to a few people who know us. Everybody said good things about Lighthouse Chapel. Then she freely joined. It is when she was here that the people who came around her like friends. That's why if you see Charlene, Charlene doesn't, she's straight up, you know. The people who tried to come around, they were the ones rather who were saying bad things about the same church that she has joined. It's fifth column work. So they have two companies. That's what we are saying. Let me give you that scripture and it will probably close. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and with staffs from the chief priest and elders of the people. Now, let's analyze this verse briefly. Who is Judas? Is Judas not a disciple of Jesus Christ? Which company is Judas supposed to be part of? The disciple company. So how come while he's... Go to verse 46. Let's see what is there. 46. 45. Then cometh he to his disciples. That's Jesus, isn't it? And said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. He saw what was coming. 46. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And in 47, the Bible says that. And while he yet speak, lo, Judas, one of the 12, a Shepherd House International member. Instead of Judas being with him. So what this story telling us is that while Jesus was in the garden praying for 3 hours and his sweat became blood, Judas wasn't there. Where was he? With the other company. In the moments where our Savior, our Master, was contemplating death, he smelled death. He smelled the crucifixion. He smelled the death, the beating. He was smelling it. He was trying to pray for strength and trying to negotiate with his Father. When in that dying moment of his life, when he looked around, only 11 people were there. One person was not around. One of my people was telling me that, Bishop, I see you take funerals very serious. I said, of course. It's you who don't take funeral very serious. A funeral that affects or involves any of our church members, it's a serious funeral. Because in somebody's crying moment, the person has to look around and see those who are on her side. If anybody is in this church and they have somebody dead in their family, and they go for the funeral at Sandy's, and they sit down, they are crying, they look around. Who should they see? It's not loved ones. It's not people who are supportive of them. Whatever, if they look around and they see that nobody, especially nobody from the church is there. Then what kind of church is it? What kind of Christians are these? So I told the person, yes, I take funeral serious. It's in Guyana that we don't take funeral serious. You just leave work for, you just get a 1 hour break. You just come, and look at the dead, take the perfume, spray the dead face, and then you come back to work. Is that standing by me? Is that standing with me? You don't love me. If you really mean it, you take a day off and come and be with me. The Bible says, mourn with those who mourn. Romans 12 and verse 15. That's why I take funeral serious. Once people are in the hospital, we take it serious too. Who else should they see than their pastor, their church members, their cell leaders when they are in problem? Who else should they see? It's not you and me that they see almost every week, 2-3 times a week. Ah. Judas. Jesus pray. Peter and James, John, they are sleeping. Thomas. I don't know where Thomas and these guys were. All of them were sleeping. Jesus came and said, you know what? It is finished. The time is here. Then the Bible says they hear a sound of people coming. People coming. A great multitude. Lo and behold, who is leading this multitude? The church member, the leader of the church. the cell leader, the assistant pastor, the reverend minister, the bishop. He is the one leading a completely different group than the group that we know he's part of. Comes around. Brings the opposition party into a garden where Jesus will be with the disciples and just get a little breeze and you know, blow off, you know, let your mind, oh! He came with them. I'm sure you'd be surprised if you were Jesus, if you didn't know. I mean, Peter, James, and John, I'm sure they were very surprised. Because as they went to the garden, they thought Jesus had sent Judas to go and take care of some things. So they really didn't take it, you know, serious that no, Judas was there. Not knowing Judas has gone to take his 30 pieces of silver. It's coming. Hey, Anita. The person that you trust. Hey, that's why some people don't like to trust people. Yeah, they say, me, I don't have no friend. That's what some people say. I don't have no friend. I don't trust people. I don't trust people. Some girls will say, I don't have any female friend. All my friends are men. I don't have any female friend. Some girls are like that. They say, I don't want no talking because women like talking. Me want no talking. So all my friends are male. Judas with the opposition. Then you go to verse 48. What does it say? Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Arrest him. I mean, what kind of disciple is this? What kind of fifth column is this? Is too classic a fifth column. And he comes with the people. And he's not ashamed as Jesus and the group were on one side. And he was coming with another group. Come, some people should come. Come. You from that side, stand up. All of you stand up there. Come, I need some people to be behind me. Come. Yeah, honey, yeah. They were like this, chief priests. So Jesus and the disciples are there. And here, lo and behold, come, let me go. Then, lo and behold, you look at me, somebody you know, who is supposed to be sitting on the chair that is there. Lo and behold, I am with a group of people. And I say, the person I kiss is the one you must get. And I come, who played Jesus? I've not seen a female Jesus before. That says, this one. Crap shit. Wow. Beat her a little bit. Beat her. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, Jesus had to be Jesus, not to just have collapsed immediately. I mean, the person comes and kisses you. The Bible says greet each other with a kiss. So they used to greet each other with a kiss. And it was very pleasant. You know, when you meet, how are you? How is me? So who are these people you're bringing? He kisses Jesus and he steps aside. And they hold on to him. Peter was so vexed, he took his sword. And the guy who touched Jesus first, he cut off his ears. That is the type of support you need. Somebody who is standing with you and fighting with you. Jesus had to correct him. But that is what you do. That's when you know who is on your side. Fifth columns, their loyalties are questionable. And then they have two companies. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a control. I can't tell you what you should do. But if you're going to be a Christian, you will have to watch the company that you are part of. You have to single out a group of people in the church and be part of the church and let the church be the only company of group people you have. If you are going to do well, if you are going to escape these things of the devil, you got to make up your mind. Otherwise, one day, he will use you and throw you away. Yeah, he will use you and throw you away like toilet paper. You know toilet paper? By the time you realize your life is messed up. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please.
Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you thank God for tonight? Thank you for His word. You've learned a few things tonight. Yeah, companies, groups. I know many Christians are guilty of that. The devil actually encourages us not to have friends in the church. He tells us reasons why you should not have a friend in the church, so that you will rely on those outside the church, so he can get you and deal with you. Thank God for his wisdom and his knowledge that has come to you tonight. Somebody pray. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Libros kebre neme kebere besa kabrandas. Ah, baraba kebre bebe kebre bebe bebe kebere yada baba. Marandere me kebres kebrindes. Libros ita barabara baba. Mi kantoya lololobosi. Barandere me kebres kebre neme kereere. Thank you for your wisdom, oh God. Thank you for your knowledge, oh God. Thank you for the impartation of knowledge. Thank you for insight that has come through your word, oh God, tonight. Libro seke brende mekeria bakabranda. Rabababababakabra satabana baba. Libro bolo bolo bosotoro bolo mekeriere. Blessed be your name, O God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, tonight, thank you for your word. I thank you for the eyes that are open. I thank you that it is through teaching that the devil gets ashamed, because insight and knowledge comes to us. Indeed, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We shall never walk in darkness anymore. In the name of Jesus, we shall never walk in darkness. We will never fall into the trap of the devil, because the word of God has come to be a light unto us.
Jesus.
Thank you for keeping us on this straight road, this road of light, that will see where we are heading and where we are at. I give you praise tonight and I give you glory in Jesus' name. I mean, you're here tonight, you're not saved, you're not born again. Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You're not saved, you're not born again. If you were to die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Tonight is decision night. Bishop, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. You're here like that. Just your right hand up high, and I'll pray with you. Your right hand. You're here, you're not born again, you're not saved. Your right hand. Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You're not saved. If you die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. You need to be sure tonight before you go home. Bishop, please pray with me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Bishop, pray with me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want Jesus. I need Jesus tonight. You are here like that. Just your right hand. Just your right hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to please come to the front. I want to pray for you. Come.
To Jesus.
God bless you. Clap for him as you come. Give him your life today.
Jesus, let him have his way.
Say one more time. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus.
And come on to Jesus. Give him your life today. To Jesus, let him have his way.
If you're here in front, it's a very simple prayer you have to pray with me. Just close your eyes and just pray this prayer after me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart right now, and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my master and my savior. I hand over the keys of my life from tonight to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I believe that my life has changed forever. I believe I'm born again. I believe I have eternal life. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for these two gentlemen who came forward to give their hearts and to hand over the keys of their lives to you. I pray. Nobody has ever followed you and has been disappointed before. Your word says you will never leave us nor forsake us. Let that same promise stand for these ones. May they walk this walk of faith. May they run the race of time. May disappointment never be their portion. May they make it to heaven on that day when you descend in your glory. Thank you for your protection right now over their lives. Satan, I rebuke you in these lives. You have nothing anymore. No part to play. These lives are given to God. Thank you, Father, for your promises and for your purposes for these ones. They shall rise and not fall. They shall mount up with wings like eagles and move forward and not backwards. They will be stronger every day, O God, and serve you until the rest of their life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.